Brother Julio with us tonight, and he's going to bring us a special and going to give us a short report of the mission work at this time. He said it's going to be real short.
We're only raising the one Sunday, we're picking at it.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, and I'm very blessed to be here with you today, and also to see Brother Glenn Knight, and to be in the revival, see Brother Michael Reese and his wife, and to many friends through all these years. I've been blessed here in the south of Arkansas because I know that I have a family. Amen. Even though my family is in El Salvador, part of my family, but here is my Christian family through all these years. I count on you, and you count on me. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your testimony. And for many friendship through all this year, and checking hands with you. If I'm not checking hands yet with you, I hope that I do it when the service finish. But I really rejoice to see many of you, and I have you as my friends. About the mission work in Little Rock, and we're still meeting three services a week, which is two on Sunday and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we are from five different countries. And we are from El Salvador, Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala, and U.S. Our Sunday school is in the evening. It's at 5 o'clock p.m., 5 to 7:30 p.m. And the kids participate, the youth. And then after 30 minutes, welcome them and have Bible introduction and participation. We are going everyone by ages for class. And then after class, we have a refreshment. And then we come back to the auditorium again for our finished prayer. and also to remind them what we just starting in that Sunday school class that day. I asked to the kids about what they understand salvation and how to go to heaven. Some of them have different ideas, but that's why we are there, to tell them what the Bible says. Amen. That the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ, that He died for us. We run the van every Sunday evening, and we pick him up. Those who don't have no transportation, we bring them to our service. After 1 year that we've been doing this, now the parents call us, and when we cannot run the van, they bring the kids to the building, and that is a big step for the Hispanic community, for the families. When the parents call and say, my kid is ready, we already have done some background there. In the beginning, everybody is not ready, but then eventually they're getting ready, and the kids are excited. And we are rejoicing because we have three families. Because the kids, they also coming to the church. And we have three of them made profession of faith last Wednesday. Amen. And we rejoice for that. And the kids, they've been coming for a year, and they were so excited. These kids were so excited because their parents, also they coming to the services with them. And the beginning was not like that. So the family in the Hispanic community is needed the background. They, many of them never have a Bible before. If they have one, they never reading. They don't know the basis of the teachings of the Bible. So we got to begin from the very background to teach them. But those who already been saved, we have few that they are not being baptized because they need to put straight their life before baptism. And we're going to begin next week to teach them about marriage. And it is a process. It is a process with some of the families. Some of the families is more quick. The other ones is more slow. But we are rejoicing that the Lord are using us in the area of Little Rock. We're trying not to stay only in Little Rock, but we're trying to go around in other cities to teach them and to find the community and invite them to Jesus Christ. I have the opportunity to travel to Monterrey, well, to Escobedo, next to the Monterrey, about a month and a half ago. It was a great experience for me. It was my first time in Mexico, and I was invited to preach over there in one of our mission works, a church that is being sponsored by one of our churches over here. And totally different. Everybody is Mexican over there. And they say, you know, you are Mexican. Well, you know, I say, well, really, we have a lot of people from Mexico in Little Rock, so it was really good experience for me and to be there and experience the community over there. We really rejoice. And in our work, we also would like to continue with the ministry, the prison ministry that we've been doing for the last 6 years, and we hope that we will continue that ministry and the radio ministry. We have to use everything is possible for us because we don't have many congregations, many Hispanic congregations that we can fellowship. So we have to build up from the zero ground and up. Now, I want to tell you one thing about the community. The mindset of the Hispanic community is that they are immigrants. We all come from different countries. And we have to adapt to the culture, to the language. And some of them have chuck. You know, they are hard to adapt it. And some of them came here to work. And sometimes they don't have time to put for church. But when you get saved, everything is starting to change. And that is what we are praying for. The biggest need, as mentioned before in my report, everywhere I go, is that the biggest need for our community is to know Jesus Christ. That is the biggest need. You know, we have different needs, but that is the biggest need, to be saved, to have Jesus Christ in our heart. And the community needs that. To finish mentioning about the work, this month we have few with us. We have a missionary visiting us from Mexico. Brother Randy Cloud was with us the March the 15th. And the 22nd of March, we have a group from the other church in Bapsai, very next to Benton area. They visiting us, and they have spending some time with us. And the congregation, they are very open. We are open to anyone who would like to come studying with us. And we're trying to do bilingual if we have two or three that speak English. And we try to be anyone coming and be welcome. That way they get to know us, our culture, our families, our people. Because that is very important for us, the community, because we're coming from another place. And our congregation is trying to do that. Now, the next activities, we're going to have a church camp in July. We're going to have a BBS in the first week in August. And I'm hoping that also I can go to El Salvador this year and have services over there like we did 2 years ago, and also visit my mother. My mother is still living. My father passed away in 2004. But my mother is still living, and I have a family still in El Salvador. I want to tell you that my wife would like to be here. She loves how you cook. Man, the food is fantastic in the South. And also your welcome, you know, your friendship. Well, we talk a lot about that. And Joshua, he already 16 years old, and he also would like to be here with you. But because the school and my wife work, she cannot come this time. But in the future, we're going to plan to be with you again and trying to see you again. Please continue to pray for the work in Little Rock. We will try to do the more as we can. We see the need. The need is that the people need to be saved before it's too late. Before it's too late. They need to be saved to know the truth, to know Jesus Christ. Anyone have a question about the work in Little Rock, the mission work? Somebody? How many over here speak Spanish? I would like to see a hand. Maybe you say a few words, somebody? Nobody? Oh, over there, here you go. That's wonderful. We are two already, me and you, that we speak Spanish. Yeah, it's wonderful that we have somebody who also speaks Spanish or trying to. So if you have any question, please contact me, call me, or I can come anytime and let you know how the work is doing. Three services a week, and we are rejoicing. The attendance is 45 to 50. Sometimes we have 65. And pray for teachers and for help. I need help as a missionary. I realize that I cannot do everything. I think us missionaries, we already find out that. But I will try to do as the Lord guide me, but pray for help, that coming to helping more teachers have a commitment to serving the Lord. And that's we are praying for, more teachers to teach kids and young people in Little Rock. And we are waiting for this year and hoping that some of the Promised Land youth can come and meet with us. I already told them, and we're going to plan after service tonight which week is going to be the best for us and for you to come, and we will be excited. We're going to take you every door in Little Rock, and we will see how we can have a great experience. All right. I already took an hour, right, brother? I don't want to go to an hour and a half. I want to sing in a special tonight for our Lord. He's in Spanish. You will recognize him. And if you make a mistake, please forgive me. I'm just trying to learn a little bit about singing. All right, brother.
En Jesucristo, el Rey de paz, en horas negras de tempestad, hallan las almas dulces olas, grato consuelo, felicidad. Gloria cantemos al Redentor, que por nosotros vino a morir. Salvador, siempre proteja nuestro vivir. En nuestras luchas, en el dolor, en tristes horas de tentación, Cristo nos llena de su vigor y da aliento al corazón. Gloria cantemos al Redentor, que por nosotros vino a morir, y que la gracia del Salvador siempre proteja nuestro vivir. Cuando luchamos llenos de fe y no queremos desfallecer, Cristo nos dice, siempre os daré gracia divina, santo poder. Gloria cantemos al Redentor, que por nosotros vino a morir, y que la gracia del Salvador siempre proteja nuestro vivir.
Thank you, Brother Julio, for that fine special and all. I want to ask Miss Barbara to come around and bring a special now. And it is going to be in English, ain't it?
From Christ my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seems so far. I cry, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me.
Good stuff.
That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently to his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. He came to me. Why he died on Calvary, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me.
Appreciate the music. It's been great. And I know we got one more. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just go before all of the words and all of the songs. That your Holy Spirit would be in control tonight. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here in this service tonight, and they've got something missing in their life, there's something wrong, they're trying to figure it out, they don't understand it, Father, it's because they need you. Father, if there's somebody running, I pray that tonight would be the night they stop running. If there's somebody with a burden, I pray that tonight is the night that they give it to you. If there's somebody hurting, I pray that tonight is the night that you touch them. Father, thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Our speaker tonight needs no introduction. Brother Glenn Knight, pastor / missionary / boat builder / director of REM / coffee drinker. He and I both love coffee. I'll let him share what's on his heart. I had a great time in the Philippines with him. It was a privilege. Brother Bobby and I had the time of our lives. We worked, we slept, we went, and we saw that God was working in all areas in the ministries over there. So, Brother Glenn, after this next song, you come share what's on your heart. And I want to go ahead and tell you this, church. We're going to have another prayerful invitation. The song that was played for the choir, for them to sing. We're going to have that for the invitation. And if you need to do business with God, you come down here to the altar and do it, whether you are in the pew or whatever. But you get your heart right with the Lord tonight. Brother Glenn, after this next song.
This time it's Billy Wells going to bring a special.
It would happen to anyone but me. I never dreamed that I would carry this heavy burden on my knees. I never thought that I'd be standing just where I stand today. I've never known this kind of heartbreak. I've never felt this kind of pain. But you're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know you'll make a way somehow. You're still God, and you're holding me right now. My heart can't find the answer or the reason for this trial. But Lord, I know your ways are perfect, and you've been watching all the while. For to me, you've proven faithful time and time again. And I'm learning, Lord, to trust you even when I don't understand. But you're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know you'll make a way somehow. You're still God, and you're holding me right now. You're still God, and you're holding me right now.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. If we happen to have any Filipinos in the audience, maayong gabi sa tanan. We have Brother Julio, buenos noches. I'm really glad to be with you tonight. And thank you so much for giving the opportunity to come and share some more things with you for this week. You know, most of the time when our family, Paula and Julie and I, are visiting churches, it's not just to really stand flat-footed and preach, you know. Most of the time it's to give a mission report. I know Brother Julio understands this really well. But to be able to give time for just preaching the Word of God this week is a wonderful thrill and privilege. And I thank you. It humbles me that you have given the opportunity to come and share with you this week. Paula and Julie could not come. Julie is schooling and, of course, has to remain in Texarkana for this time while she is in school. And Paula wanted to come. She said, be sure to tell you that she would like to be here, but she is unable because her father and mother are very sick. In fact, her father, as some of you may know by this time, has been diagnosed with cancer two different kinds, and he's not doing so well these days, and Paula is there to help take care of her parents. Please, when you pray, pray for Brother and Sister Magnus, Brother Paul Magnus and Loveta Magnus. Some of you know them, so we appreciate your prayers for them. Traveling north or south on Highway 35 in Midtown Dallas. You know where I'm talking about? There are two new signs erected there. One on either side of the road, and you see it going that way, and if you're coming back the other way, you see it going this way. Large billboards that say, question, don't believe in God? And then underneath it, it says, you're not alone. You would expect to see that elsewhere, right? You see, you may wonder, well, who put that up? I was shocked when I saw that the other day in Dallas. You might wonder, who put that up? Well, the atheist community of Dallas is the one that sponsored that. You've heard about the billboards in Philadelphia and in Denver, Colorado, right? Have you heard about those? Same kind. I read about those in the Philippines. Come on, didn't you know about that here? Yes, in Philadelphia. My sister lives in Philadelphia. You can see large billboards there that have been erected by the atheists of that particular area. Also in Denver, Colorado. I haven't been there, but I've read about that one. This is going to be something that we see a whole lot more of. Did you see the new dollar coin yet? It does not say, in God we trust, on it. Did you know that? Hey, you know, you've been hearing about this in the last several months, right? That the atheist would like to remove that statement from all of our money. You knew about that. Well, it's happened. Now, for those of us who probably thought, no, that's not going to happen. It cannot happen. It is happening. And that new dollar coin, if you find one, you get one, you look at it. Because it does not say, in God we trust, on it. Now, that bothers me. And I know it does you also. But these are signs of the times. Some have begun some kind of movement, you know, to reject that dollar coin, thinking that it will be like the Susan B. Anthony was a few years ago. You know, nobody wanted that coin for some reason. In the Philippines, we have a lot of coins, and they're all very heavy. Is it like that also in Salvador? And you have a pocket full of coins like that. Brother Michael and Brother Bobby know that in our Jeep there, we have a tray that is literally full of heavy Philippine coins, because I don't want those things in my pockets, and, you know, I'm heavy enough as it is without those things bulging like that. But many people said, you know, about the Susan B. Anthony, we don't want that coin because we've got enough coins already. So remember, they pulled it. They didn't mint that one anymore. And some are hoping, well, if we reject that coin now, the new dollar coin that does not say, in God we trust, maybe they will pull it also. But I doubt it. I doubt it. Don't count on that. I think that it's probably here to stay. And the movement to remove in God we trust from all of our money is growing louder and becoming stronger. And the billboard that I saw the other day in Dallas is reminding me of that. But you know something? When I saw that, being a missionary, that really sort of encouraged me. It did, because I saw that. The question again, don't believe in God? Question mark, big, it's very big. You're not alone. I knew that already. Because there are a lot of people in our world who do not believe in God. People who search for God and cannot find Him. You know that? And what's more, you don't have to travel far away to find such people who are searching for God and not finding Him, and are giving up their search. You can find them very near to you. We might all be shocked to discover the number of people around us who do not believe in God. I talked to a man this morning, visited with him, witnessed to him, shared with him for a little while this morning. He's homosexual. And he just lately come out of his closet. I didn't know he was homosexual. He was cutting my hair. You know? Yeah. He's standing behind me. Turn around, Bobby. I like Bobby's new haircut, by the way. It's Philippine style. He's cutting my hair. And before he cut my hair, you know, he said, "You have very good hair." "You do too, Bob." And he started snip, 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 snip. He said to me, he said, "You know, I recently came out of my closet." Now, I'm not so stupid that I don't know what that means. I understand very well. Well, you know what? It's just an opportunity there to talk to this guy. He's a friend of mine. I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe he's thinking, "Oh, no, he's not going to come in my barbershop anymore. Well, I'll go back when I need another haircut," because he gives me another opportunity to witness to him and share with him. But you know, this guy said, "I have a relationship with God, but I cannot attend church anywhere because I don't think anybody will accept me there." And you know, I thought, well, now, I cannot question his relationship to God. I will not question that, because that's between him and his God. But if God is really in his heart, then he can change things in his life. The Lord can, you know. What are we going to do? We're going to say, "Oh, no, no." If God doesn't say that, neither should we. This is a part of what is wrong with our world today, because you and I have the responsibility of sharing the Lord God with everybody throughout all of this world, regardless of who they are, regardless of where they are, regardless of how they are. They need to know about God. So when I saw that big billboard, "Don't believe in God, you're not alone," all I could say to that was, "Amen, that's right. There are a lot of people in this world who don't believe in God, and they certainly are not alone. They are in company with many others." But that's why you and I are here. We've got a message for this world of ours. But you know something? Sometimes we're like the armies of Israel. We are. We're a great army. We like to talk about our churches being a great army. We're the army of the Lord. The army of Israel was the army of the Lord. But remember the time when they were arrayed in the valley or across the other side of the valley of Elah, and opposite them there was the army of the Philistines. Remember that? Israel was standing in the shade of the trees looking across the valley. In the valley there was a great champion, Goliath by name. And he was challenging the army. "Send me your champion." Remember the story? He said, "No one is willing to come and fight me." He even began to dare them. "You come and fight me. If you win, then we will be your servants. But if I win, you're going to be our servants." But nobody would go. David happened along. You know the story. This is not foreign to you. David came, his father had sent him to check on his brothers, and when David got there, he could not believe the things that he was seeing and what he was hearing. There was a man, regardless of his size, who dared to defy the God of the army of Israel, and no one in the army would do anything about it. You ever feel scared sometimes? The circumstances of the world, the circumstances of our nation, right now, tonight, are such that many times we feel afraid. You ever afraid to open your mouth and speak for the Lord? In your school? How many of you are in high school? Lift up your hand. It's hard for me to see everybody. You're in high school. Got some high schoolers over here. I saw some hands over there. I'm a little doubtful. Maybe a teacher. You're in high school permanently. You guys afraid sometimes to talk to your classmates about the Lord? When did you last talk to somebody about Jesus? Oh, no answer. Have you ever talked to somebody about Jesus? One of your classmates? Yeah. But not too often, do you? Are you afraid to do that? Sometimes. I'm not asking you these questions to embarrass you. How many of you work in an office? You say, I'm not dare going to lift up my hand. I know what he's going to do. You work in an office. Lift your hand up. Did you guys talk to your office mates about the Lord? Often? Are there people in your office that don't know Christ? Unsaved people? If not, that's good. How many of you work in a factory? Some of you. You talk to those co-workers in the factory about the Lord sometime? Yeah. How many of you work for the railroad? Anybody here work for the railroad? No railroaders here? Regardless of where we are working or where we are schooling, there are people all around us who need to know about the Lord, but sometimes we're afraid to talk to them. We'll talk about everything in the world, won't we, Pastor? We talk about everything in the world. Oh, it rained too much, or no, it's too dry. We talk about hunting, we talk about fishing, we talk about everything in the world, and sometimes we never speak a word for the Lord. Brethren, the time has come. I'm not going to say it is coming, but the time has come that on our lips every day needs to be the story of Jesus. Now, if it's not that way, then we can be very closely compared to the army of Israel standing in the shadows of those shade trees over there, afraid to go out and face the giant Goliath. But oh, how we need to be like David. You know, David was a very good example, and I'll show you this in just a moment. His brother scolded him. Why are you here? You're a naughty boy. You need to go back home. Remember that? David asked his brothers, what have I now done? You know, do you have a brother? Do you have brothers? You have a brother or brothers? Two stepbrothers. Did they ever get, are you older or younger? You're older. Well, it didn't apply to you. I'm a younger brother. I'm a younger brother. And I can tell you something about getting the blame. In fact, I'm the middle of three children. I have a younger sister. She never did anything wrong. Ask her. My older brother did a lot of things wrong and always pointed the finger right at me, you know. And so often I felt like David because I would ask, what have I now done? But I don't think that really was the meaning behind David's statement. You know, you can take it one of two ways. You can say, like the question, what have I now done? What have I done? What are you accusing me of now? But turn it around and look at it the other way. What have I done? Because there is something that I can do. Get the point? There was David. He was young. He was not in the army. He wasn't trained. But God was about to use him in a mighty way. But he had to come to grips with the question, what have I done? As though he's asking, have I done anything? Well, he had. But at that very moment, nothing that he had done before was on his mind. He was looking at what he could do now about the present situation. In our world of skepticism, agnosticism, atheism, in our world of New Age, we need to ask ourselves a question sometimes. What have I now done? Because there is something we can do. Now, you know what David did? He said, I will go and fight the giant. You know the story? How Saul said, okay, well, you're going to have the armor. And David tried it on, didn't fit, said, no, I don't need that. Not my style anyway. The Bible tells us he took his sling. He went to the brook and chose five smooth stones, and he went out to meet that giant. All the while, the giant is cursing him by his gods. You see, the giant did not believe in the one true and living God, just like the world. Just like the world. And sometimes when you and I begin thinking, oh no, we're living in a world, we're living in a nation. Did you ever think it would happen in America? Where Christianity is openly abused verbally, where we are slandered, where we are mocked. Did you ever think that would happen in America of all places? Do you ever watch Oprah Winfrey? Huh? Don't watch Oprah. A lot of people go to Oprah for advice. We need to go to the Lord. Oprah's got her own church going on now. You know that? She's the daughter of a Baptist pastor. Grew up in a Baptist church. But she's got her own church now, and she's the God of her church. She was quoted as saying, "Don't be guilty of thinking that Jesus is the only way to heaven." She said, "Don't believe in the way of the old rugged cross." She said, "Jesus is only a symbol." Don't watch Oprah, you guys. I don't mean to be telling you what to do and don't do, but this woman is poisoning the minds of a lot of people right now. You know that? There are like 120,000 people who tune in regularly to her XM broadcasts that are going out by satellite radio over all of the nation around the world, probably more than that. There's something like 700,000 people who regularly subscribe to her webinars where she's teaching the Bible. She's reaching more people than what our churches are reaching. You know that? She really is. A lot of people are calling her religious movement Hindu repackaged. And that's what it is, because she's teaching New Age and teaching people that they are their own gods. Don't watch Oprah. It's poison. I'm telling you, it's poison. Now, somebody will say, "But I like her." You better listen to her very carefully, because she's teaching something that's really very bad. But she's not the only one. But when we face things like that in our world today, we become fearful. We begin to think, "Oh no, what can we do? Is there anything we can do?" And David, facing the giant, came to grips with that in himself. "What have I now done? I'll get my sling, I'll take the stones, and I'm going to meet that giant." You know the story. He met the giant. I like to read that in 1 Samuel, where David ran to the giant. Sometimes when we're facing a challenge that's very difficult, and I'm talking about a challenge of spiritual warfare, and that happens every day of our lives, it's almost as though we run away from the challenge. Or rather than facing it with courage, we face it with fear. David ran to the giant. As he was running, he took a stone from his bag, put it in his sling, and he slung the stone. And the Bible tells us it hit the giant in the forehead and he fell down dead. Now you know the story. All of us know the story. But a great victory was won for God that day, because a man asked the simple question, "What have I now done? Is there something I can do?" You know, I said a moment ago that David was a good example. There were others who followed his example. If you read in 2 Samuel 28, you can read about the 37 men who were known as the mighty men of valor. Remember that, Pastor? The mighty men of valor. And among those 37, there were three who were the mightiest of all. Josheb-Bashibeth, the Tachmonite. He slew 800 Philistines at one time, single-handedly. Imagine that. Yeah. Another one's name was Eleazar. The Bible tells us about Eleazar. I like this, because he took his sword in his hand. Again, here's a man who's asking, "What have I now done?" Took his sword in his hand, Bobby. And the Bible says that he fought so valiantly with the sword that when he was finished, it would not come out of his hand. His hand was stuck to his sword. They had to pry the sword from his hand. Imagine that, having the weapons of our warfare so close at hand, so much a part of us that they cannot be separated from us. But that is what he did. Then there was another one who defended a field of grain. A field of grain. But it was good for food, and the people needed the food. And he stood in the field and he defended that field of grain all alone, you know, single-handedly defending the field of grain so the enemy couldn't take it. What have I now done? But you know something? Those three men, you can read the story. When their king, the one who faced the giant many years before, the one who had set such an example before them, was thirsty for a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. While Bethlehem was shut up by the Philistine garrison who had occupied the city, no one could get inside there. But David lamented one day and he said, "Oh, I'm so thirsty. If I only had a drink of water from the well in Bethlehem." And those three men heard it. And the Bible tells us that they rose up and the three went alone and they battled their way through the garrison to the well, and they got water from the well and brought it back to their king, and they gave the water to their king. Sir, here is water from the well. What an example David had set for those men of valor. You know, one of the most touching aspects of that story is that when David lifted up the water from the well in Bethlehem, he said, "These men fought for this. These men laid their lives on the line for this. How can I drink this?" And he said, "To the Lord God in heaven, I pour out this as an offering." And he poured the water out on the ground. Now somebody might say, "Well, how dare the king do that? Those men could have lost their lives trying to get the water and he just poured it out on the ground." David recognized a very important fact. Not only had he been a good example before those 37 men, and those three in particular, as a man of strength and courage, but he recognized the fact that he also needed to be a man of humility and integrity, because he knew his strength was in God. And he worshiped God with what they gave to him. What an example of grace for their time. You know something? Times haven't changed. We live in a world that's very, very much the same as what theirs was in that time. We talk about the modern day. You know what? In their time, it was modern. It was. We tend to look back at that and say, "Oh, those people were just poor, ignorant people. They didn't have the technology. They had everything they needed for their time." Their time was just as modern to them as our time is modern to you and me. And they recognized one thing. It was going to take faith to survive. But more than survival, it would take faith to win their world for the Lord. I want to talk to you this week about finding faith and advancing it. I hope that you'll listen carefully, just not tonight, but each night this week. And Brother Michael said a while ago, said, "You've got plenty of time, just preach." That was the introduction. Remember something Paul said to Timothy? Because I think Timothy was facing many of the same kinds of problems that David faced. The same kinds of problems that you and I are facing tonight. When Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, "For God hath not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." I look at the circumstances of our world tonight and see in all of that a great opportunity to demonstrate our faith to this world. It doesn't concern me, really. In fact, I'm almost relieved that a number of people have finally come out verbally and have said, "I'm an agnostic, I'm an atheist, I'm a skeptic. I don't know what I am, but I know I do not know God." That should give us a great opportunity to tell them about the one true and living God and how they can have a relationship with Him. Perhaps someone here tonight doesn't have that kind of relationship. You know something, I go back to this friend of mine I was speaking with this morning. He was talking about, you know, yes, his relationship with God. But on further discussion, his relationship, so-called, is nothing more than religion. It is not religion that you need, but real relationship that you need. That comes by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember something. I've studied a lot about different religions, especially those that we confront so often, so regularly there in the southern Philippines. Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and various animistic sects. Now, they have something in common. Every single one of those have something in common. And that is a belief that God is too far removed from mankind and man cannot really know that God. This is part of the problem with our world today. People seek to know God and cannot know Him, cannot find Him. Philip, one of the Lord's apostles, was struggling with that same thing when he said to Jesus one night, "Lord, show us the Father. And we'll be satisfied." Remember that? Jesus said to him, "Philip, have I been so long with you and yet have you not known me? Have you not known me?" You see that? "For if you have seen me, you have seen the Father." God is so great that He has demonstrated Himself to mankind in the person of the only begotten Son of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our world stumbles over that. The Muslim think that Jesus is just another prophet. The Hindu and the Buddhist acknowledge that He's a Christian prophet, having nothing to do with their mystic religions. Almost everybody in the world believes that there was a Jesus at one time. But the core issue of the whole matter is that Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, the Bible teaches us that. And yet, when we speak to someone about that, so many times they say, "Oh, I just don't know about that. I cannot really understand that." You read the Word of God to them and read it to them enough, the Holy Spirit will open up their understanding of it. So then, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, I'm absolutely convinced that the greatest need in ministry to our world tonight, whether it is by the New Testament church or one-on-one personally, the greatest need in our world tonight is to know more of the Word of God. We can argue, we can debate and quibble, but until we get down to just reading to the world the Word of God, we'll never get there. Sometimes we don't get that picture, do we? Young people, when you talk to your friends, have the Word of God handy. And sometimes you say, "But I'm afraid to carry that Bible with me. I'm afraid they might mock me." Let them mock you. That gives you an opportunity to speak up for Jesus. But have that little Bible of yours, that Testament. Have it handy so you can share the Word of God with people. The simple Word of God, when it is read in the hearing of the people, will do things that millions of words from our mouths will never accomplish. There's power in the Word of God. Share the Word of God with people around you. That's the greatest witness that we have. What an awesome opportunity we have today. But sometimes again, we face that opportunity with certain fear. The prophet Isaiah spoke about this when he said, "No weapon formed against you shall prevail." He talked about the strength that we have from the Lord and says, this is our heritage. A heritage, he said. Imagine that. The same courage that David mustered by his faith in God to go out and face the giant. The same courage that those 37 men of valor had when they fought for the Lord is the courage that you and I have by right of heritage. That is what the Lord has given to us. So many times we choose not to use that, but it is there for the using. The need for faith in God is worldwide. Every race of man and every nation of the world needs this faith. All are objects of God's saving grace. There was a man asked me about 3 days ago, asked me a question. He said, Glenn, I need to ask you about people in such remote places that they've never heard the gospel. Should they hear the gospel, or would it be better? Imagine this. Would it be better to just ignore them and leave them in their ignorance? Because after all, if they never hear it, are they not protected by the grace of God like a little child? You ever been asked a question like that, Brother Michael? If they've never heard the gospel, should we not just ignore them? Don't take the gospel to them? And that way they'll just, you know, sort of grandfather into heaven because they never heard the gospel? I'll tell you something. To use some modern technology, there is a sin default in the heart and mind of every person drawing the breath of life in this world. When we go to remote places where people have never heard the gospel, we find them worshiping gods and goddesses. We find them practicing their superstitions. I don't know what they call them in Salvador, but in the Philippines, that little image or that little good luck charm is called anting-anting. And it just means something that protects. They have these little things that they worship and things they revere in different ways. And I'm thinking, oh, listen, that is an indication of their utter darkness, their spiritual ignorance, their search for God. And it is incumbent upon me and you to take the gospel to them. How can we ignore them? We must let them hear of the love of God and the saving grace of God through Jesus. We must. The world is crying out for that faith. I look at that billboard that says, "Don't believe in God, you're not alone." And imagine the millions of people who are clumped together in their disbelief, in their skepticism, in their atheism. And you know what? They need to be a target group of ministry for the New Testament churches tonight. They're admitting the fact that they should be a target group. You get the point I'm trying to make to you? The world is crying out for faith in God.